Welcome to Emerging Tech Mastery, a show that demystifies cutting-edge technology like cryptocurrency, the blockchain, metaverse, NFTs, virtual reality, the maker movement, artificial intelligence, machine learning, cloud, edge, and even fog computing. Strap in as we ride into the fourth industrial revolution. Emerging Tech Mastery provides actionable knowledge, regardless of skill level, from experts in the trenches. We piece together this intel in easy-to-consume media formats, processes, and procedures. See you in the future.
Hey everyone, Aaron Mungo here with another episode of Emerging Tech Mastery. It has been a little bit. I took over 2.5 month break. If you have been paying attention to the week-to-week episodes coming out, and I know there's some of you that are super loyal, and I appreciate that, so you might have thought I fell off, which I kind of did, but you know, I'm not a big announcer. I'm a big fan of the Irish exit, so rather than go into a whole post about, hey, I need to take a break and blah, 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 I just took the break and disappeared for a little bit. And that's how I roll. I had a good chance to slow down, think about what I'm doing, think about workflows and content and like really the state of the world. Because I think when I started this podcast, there was actually a lot of not AI going on. It was very like building up kind of phase and vibe. And literally, I started actually, I want to say 2021, doing the show, planning and taking way too much time to overthink everything and plan it out and come up with some perfect strategy, as we do. What ended up happening was the world changed so much, especially when I launched or soon after I launched. And I just felt like, oh, wow, like I started this more from an organic, just my ideas and thoughts perspective. And then all of a sudden it became this whole AI tech boom. You know, I mean, there's been several tech booms, but you can really feel the acceleration, I suppose, of all this new stuff happening and new data. And like the AI thing definitely threw me off. Because as a content creator, there's a little bit of pride in like creating a certain vibe and certain level of information. I'm clearly not the super high production podcast. I'm more like basement, underground pirate radio, basement vibe, talking to some cool people that may not have a podcast or have gone on a lot of podcasts. And I really feel like that's kind of the direction I'm going to go in more, as well as free and open source. Again, not meant to give a full on state of the union for ETM here, but you know, I just want to explain myself a little bit since it has been well over 2 months, and usually, again, most people do some kind of announcement or whatever, but yeah, I think it was kind of a perfect time getting sick right after CES, and I just thought, you know what, break time, and I'm hibernating for the winter. Yeah, I think that sums up, you know, I don't want to like dawdle too long on explanations here, getting a little long, but you came here for an episode about our check-in on our top 10 emerging tech predictions for 2024. And I thought it'd be fun to go through each of them. And I'm just going to do this solo. I know that show, me and Eric kind of took turns in sharing our predictions. So I'm going to take the lead here and go through all of them. And we'll certainly bring Eric back. He's actually at GTC right now, at NVIDIA conference. So he's going to be coming back really soon to talk about that, and perhaps we can touch on this topic as well. But for now, just me, we're going to go into it. So let's go through each one, and I'll just go through. You can feel free to listen to that last episode if you want, but if you haven't, then I'll just go through each of the 10, and if you feel like you want to listen to them, feel free to check out that other episode, which was our first episode of the year and only episode of the year since I've taken my break. But we're breaking the trend since this is my second episode of the year, and I've took my time with that one, but that's how it happened. So glad you're listening though and back, and I'm sure you're maybe happy to have the flow back, and I'm gonna keep it going. So oh yeah, one last thought on that was, you know, I am gonna try for maybe like more smaller episodes, because I find that just the workload is less and I can really stay on top of the topics and really having a good flow. Even if I do take a break again, I could pretty much have a seamless flow of content and episodes, and also long form. I'm not abandoning that, but you know, you just have to really account for the time and expectations for guests. You know, maybe they want the episode to come out sooner than later. So, you know, there's a little bit of thought there. And I think making the long ones really count and picking topics that really deserve that long drawn out conversation, I think is great. So, and any thoughts you all have, feel free. I'm also liking the idea of more philosophical episodes, like talking about different philosophies behind different tech titans of the past, because a lot of these people have always had very interesting thoughts and philosophies. And then also just talking through things that we like, things that we don't like, you know, the rants and raves episode. So, and then of course, tutorials, which is not as much as useful in audio format, but those are going to probably be more like traditional blog posts. And I'm still going to figure out how to maybe tie that into this audio format. But I think those are the kind of things where you're sitting down at the computer and you're ready to like play with your Raspberry Pi or play with a new headset or play with a smartwatch. And I'd love for those guides to kind of be like your companion that's with you, guiding you to actually do this stuff, right? It's great to talk about it, think about it. But I think there's a whole nother level of, let's just say, fulfillment that comes from doing stuff and learning how to do stuff for yourself and really learning how things work. And, you know, there's nothing that can really beat that time in. So I encourage you to spend the time in, because you will get things out, even if at times it does not feel like you are getting much progress, especially when you're first learning and it's a steep learning curve and you just feel like you're spinning your wheels. So we've all been there. Okay, so I'm jumping in now. Let's check in with our top 10 emerging tech predictions for 2024, and have they come true or not, or nothing's happened yet, we're still waiting. Again, might be a little bit early. It's only been like a couple months since we set them, but I thought it might be a fun way to kind of jump back in, get warmed up with all this content, and let's do it, okay? So prediction number one was AI disappears behind the scenes. And I actually didn't say this prediction, but I actually kind of said the opposite. I actually said, and I didn't make it a prediction because I was gun shy for whatever reason, but I basically said that I felt that AI was going to be continued to use as a marketing sort of magic bullet, if you will. And I actually think that has come true. So I think Eric's AI going quiet maybe has not quite happened yet. I think there's going to be, I don't know how long it'll be, 6, 12 months, maybe a couple years of like AI as a marketing term. And I think as long as they can squeeze the juice out of that, I think they will keep doing it. So I actually think that AI is still kind of like that buzzword, and I don't know how long that'll go, but there's still some mileage there, it seems. And I do think that there's going to be more juice squeezed out of using AI for marketing. Plus, you know, investors, and you get this whole bump when you mention some AI improvement to your product. So there's a lot of that going on. It's not always the most authentic energy behind it, but I do think it's like a trend and it's going to happen. It's going to go. Number two, and this was my prediction, which was AI resurrects old and hard to use tech. Again, that's something that's probably going to take years, 5, 10 plus years to really see the results. However, I have seen some really cool things like welding and like maybe more old school trades that have not had visibility, like being able to see certain things, you know, in pipes or an approach to the welding itself. There's these new ways that they're being used. And I think that AI is kind of crossing over into robotics, because AI is really just that software layer. So I think what you're having is the AI is getting put into other things. And honestly, I think that's going to be a trend. That's a prediction we didn't say, but should have, is that I think robotics might actually supplant AI in the long run. So going along with the AI disappears behind the scenes, I actually think there's going to be a new thing that becomes cool. My guess is it might be robotics, because the robotics are actually really cool. And that'll have to be a separate episode. I always say that. Okay, number three was everyone will be a video influencer. And that does seem to be happening. That does seem to be the case. It does seem like people are waking up and having that creative inspiration, or maybe they were a more quiet person in their field or career. And now I am noticing a lot of different people in really all categories starting to put themselves out there more and do little webinars or workshops or presentations. And I think it's really great. I do think it's challenging, because I've felt at times that things are so saturated that it's like, why even bother? But I do think it's great to share yourself and your ideas and thoughts. And hey, video is kind of becoming like the ultimate audience builder. And I've been doing kind of the slow cooker with this audio podcast. But yeah, video is huge and it's cool to see. 4, media tech will evolve fast. And that's another area where it seemed like things might be getting a little bit like supplanted. Like there was Nerf and then there's these Gaussian splats, which is, you know, this sort of tech behind volumetric 3D video technology and rendering. And it appears that rather than one term taking over another, now that it's like a collection of terms. So now people are like hashtag Gaussian splat, hashtag Nerf, hashtag, you know, other stuff. And so even 360 video to some degree is still a part of the discussion because, you know, people are still filming things in that way. It kind of is its own category, but I feel like it's kind of reaching into other categories because the way you gather content often is this sort of 360 video process, but then it becomes something different because of the 3D scanning. Again, you'll have to listen to the volumetric episode to learn more about that, but I'm just saying, I think we have these new terms coming in and they're not really supplanting each other, especially if they do different things. I think you sort of just have a whole bunch of new, I don't even want to call them quite buzzwords, but they're kind of a little bit buzzwords of different features. And, you know, again, that might have a little bit of mileage for a while. Okay, 5, new tech innovations will integrate other tech. Yes, yes, and yes. I mean, that was a perfect segue into my comment about AI and robotics, you know, or AI plus X. You know, I don't think AI is going to last very long on its own. You know, there's been this little boom, I feel like 2023 of like, oh, AI. But now it's kind of like, well, AI and what? And I think that's a more proper question to ask, because that's where I think we'll see some much cooler stuff happen. Like I said, AI and robotics, I actually think that's really neat because now, I mean, yeah, it could be dystopian and scary, but more often than not, it's probably going to do some really great things to help us do things better and faster. As we talked about in the ag tech episode, you know, getting these efficiencies for things that have been historically difficult is really important. So I actually think that's definitely happening and coming down the line. Okay, 6, Apple Vision Pro will not meet expectations. That was a really good hot take from Eric. And he seems like he's right. There's been a lot of complaints, and I haven't read all the sort of reflections and journals of everyone on their blogs yet, but the big picture appears that people are not liking certain aspects of it, and the headset gets annoying, and it's like, oh, well, we kind of knew that from VR. Like, there's a reason VR didn't take off. I'm not sure why everyone thought that AR was going to magically solve that, AR meaning augmented reality, but you know, you still have a headset, right? It kind of comes back to you still have to deal with certain physical limitations. And I think that was a big downfall of VR, virtual reality. And it struggled to get adoption and it struggled to become what I think everyone thought it would be. And maybe AR is going in a similar direction. There's these glasses by this company called X-Real. And that to me feels a little more cool and normal and like, yeah, I'm going to put on a pair of sunglasses or eyeglasses and then see stuff like overlaid, you know, this whole headset thing all over again. I just, you know, it might have been overestimate of how much people would love it because people didn't like the VR headsets in terms of long-term use. I mean, you know, phones broke through a device you use all the time. And I think AR has still yet to do that. So I think Eric was right, has not met expectations. However, we kind of knew this was going to happen, right? Gen 1 is never really taking you the whole way. Okay, 7, hardware will be a race to the bottom and software will continue to be the golden goose. It does seem like that is happening. Like you had these new competitors to Raspberry Pi pop up because Raspberry Pi had a little bit of a supply shortage and it's just such a great value, right? You're getting this whole computer for $35. So what ended up happening was Raspberry Pis were going for like double the price, like $70 or even $100. So what happened was you had these other competitors that made a better Pi, so to speak, with better tech and better components that were now worth that $70. So the price points have shifted to where you spend a little more, but you might get a better Raspberry Pi, if you will. Now, some people say, oh, well, it doesn't have the developer community, and that's a really good point. But again, it just shows that hardware is still a race to the bottom because you have people getting so much value from already very inexpensive components that are really powerful. So we'll have to see how that goes. But yeah, it does seem like software, specifically now it's being called SaaS. I've seen a lot of marketing agencies adding SaaS to their tech niche roster now. So this is definitely happening. And, you know, software has always kind of been a really great business model for the people that have figured it out. Certainly competitive, certainly difficult, but it's also like, wow, yeah, you're getting the utility bill for software, and look at all the cloud services we use, and Netflix and data storage and, you know, whatever else we use, VPNs. So there's a lot there that I do think will continue to grow and just be, it'll be a winner for everyone involved. All right, number eight, NFTs will make a comeback through sports betting and investing. Okay, well, this is crazy. I did feel like 2023 was like crypto was in that bear market. It's dead. It's not coming back. Well, so far this year, Bitcoin has made a huge rally, and there's all that's again, now this should be another episode. There's the halving where, you know, the Bitcoin's yield for miners is going to get cut in half, which happens every X amount of years. And so I feel like for 2023, Bitcoin had a pretty much like dead in the water. But then this year, wow, 2024, it's basically hit a new all-time high. But, you know, I don't feel like the market's quite caught up yet as far as the enthusiasm, because I think people got kind of hurt from the last high into low, right? These markets are a little bit volatile. And there were also a lot of like bad scandals and bad behavior and things, you know, like people losing money. And a lot of those people might not come back. Like, I've talked to some people that I've just met randomly that weren't necessarily into crypto, like a musician, for example. And he was like, yeah, I got excited about it, but, you know, I don't know if it's for me. So I think there's a lot of people that got burned, got hurt, aren't coming back. And that's why crypto always feels like this like repeating of history, and you get these new people that come in and get hurt, and then, well, they leave, and then they're pretty pissed off about it. And there's even a lot of toxic like just behavior and comments. Like when I've posted episodes about crypto, people have been really negative, last year at least. So I wonder if that will change. I don't think we've quite gotten to this prediction yet. I do think it's coming though, because sports betting's huge, and you know, Vegas is really ramping up their, you know, buying sports teams and turning that place into sort of this entertainment hub. So I do think things like that are going to absolutely come in real strong. It might take a little while, but who knows? Maybe this little bull run with Bitcoin running up might actually infuse some new energy in that. So let's see what happens. Okay, number nine, tech for good will go mainstream. I think so. I mean, I should just jump. Maybe I'm cheating here. I'm going to jump into number 10 as well. Sustainability will be at the forefront of the conversation. Both 9 and 10, now that I've kind of seen what's happened this year, are absolutely happening. I mean, at CES, they were all about, oh, you know, human security, and meaning, you know, like basically rebranding like human rights and like human dignity and like social good, you know, they had to come up with their new terms, seem new. But I do think that it's a big, like there's chief sustainability officers now. And I don't really remember noticing those people as much before. I know there was always like corporate responsibility and corporate sustainability was always like a department, especially in big corporations. But it just feels like it's really hitting like the mainstream, like every big conference around tech is making a point to talk about whether it's tech for good or sustainability or like, you know, women and diversity and inclusion. Like there's all this more social and almost nature, earth, saving the earth elements to it as we go through these paths. So I would say, yep. And again, it wasn't like, I was trying to think, you know, did I just see this stuff happen and just make that into a prediction? But I really don't feel like it was as strong of a point last year, 2023. So I do think that there seems to be, I mean, maybe it was more in the background in 2023, like people were thinking about it and talking about it. But now that I'm seeing it published on conferences, makes me think that there's a lot more serious weight being thrown behind this. So I'm really stoked to actually see that, because, you know, it's like, wow, you know, no longer is it just the hippies in a circle trying to save the world. It feels like a lot of different people are coming to the table to kind of improve things, right? Which I think is really great. All right, well, that's the 10. Again, wanted to keep this nice and chatty and easy in a sense for me, just to kind of go over what we've seen and keep. Thanks for listening. I enjoyed ranting a bit. As you know, I like to keep things around 15, but this time we went to around 20. And so thanks for listening and making this one a little longer. I enjoy these formats, and so I'm looking forward to continuing the shorter form, and you can expect a lot more of that. And, of course, some really nice long-form ones thrown in as well. But let's just call it at that for today, and thanks for listening. I will see you in the future.